As I mentioned, we are joined right now by an NFL Network analyst. He is host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He is part of Amazon's Scouts Feed broadcast. He is a three-on-three legend, good friend of the program. He is Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. What's the word, man?
Well, you tell me. Lots of things to talk about. I appreciate you coming on first and foremost. That's the thing. Listen, before we get to this weekend's games and what just took place, what about the word that broke about an hour ago, Sean Payton stepping away from the Saints? What's your immediate reaction to that, and what do you personally think led to that decision?
Well, I think it's probably just a smart kind of reset for him. You know, you kind of look at where that franchise is right now. I mean, it's well documented with the salary cap situation, uncertainty at quarterback. You know, it gives him a chance to catch a breath a little bit. And then, you know, we have what, I think 9 openings right now, Jim. I mean, there's every year, I feel like we've got 6, 7, 8, 9 coaching openings. So he can go do TV for a year. Maybe he goes and joins Al Michaels and does Amazon Thursday nights. Who knows, you know, what he's going to do there, but just kind of recharge your batteries. And then next year at this time, he can kind of survey the landscape and kind of pick one of those jobs. I know, you know, you watch those games over the weekend, Jim, and you see some of these young cyborgs we have at quarterback, and you go, man, I kind of would like to coach one of those guys, you know? So maybe just kind of sit back and try and identify the best quarterback situation where he can jump into a year from now.
Interesting. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. Daniel, would you consider Dak Prescott one of those young cyborgs?
I think he's just outside cyborg status, but I think he's, when he's healthy, he can compete with those guys, you know? I don't think we saw the best version of Dak, especially kind of down the stretch after he had that calf injury. But he's somebody that can, you know, can do a lot of the things that we saw done over the weekend. I mean, the crazy thing about you think about how great Aaron Rodgers is, right? The guy's going to be MVP back to back. But as great as Aaron Rodgers is, he doesn't have the club in his bag that Mahomes and Josh Allen have. Those guys rush for, you know, nearly 70 yards apiece in that game to lead their team. So, you know, Dak Prescott, when he's healthy and he can run around, you know, with what he can do throwing the football, he gives you some of that as well.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so what about Joe Burrow, for instance? I mean, there's so much to like about this guy. He doesn't necessarily have that club in his bag per se. He's not necessarily in their class yet, but do you suspect he will be sooner than later?
Yeah, he's an assassin. Like, he's a cold-blooded killer. I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback enter the NFL with his confidence. He's pinpoint accurate, and he is a great athlete. I mean, those other guys are just kind of freaks, and they choose to use it a little bit more. But Joe is a really good athlete. I kind of put him in that Dak Prescott, you know, group. He's coming off that, you know, knee injury, so you don't see him use it quite as much. But, man, that dude can extend plays. He can create. And I don't know that there's a tougher dude at the position in the league. I remember his rookie year, they played the Eagles, Jim. I got a call from a buddy on their staff, and he's like, look, we won this game, but just go back, and you can sort it through all the cut-ups now that you have that capability with the technology. He goes, just go sort and watch the hits that we put on Joe Burrow. And he goes, the guy just kept – it was like Rocky, right? He just kept coming. Like, he never stopped. And they knocked the stuffing out of him in that game. And the guy was like, dude – I'm telling you, it's not going to take long. This guy is different. Like, he's just a complete stud, man. Like, he has the respect of everybody in the league.
And by the way, we saw it again this past weekend, right? He got the hell beat out of him again this weekend and just kept coming. I mean, can you even quantify that, DJ? Like, how is it that this guy, he doesn't rattle, he doesn't blink, he does not back down? And not only that, but you and I talked about this. Before he came into the NFL, you actually made a comparison to Tom Brady, which is always going to be dangerous, and now it doesn't look so dangerous at all. How do you explain him having this much confidence and kind of a benign arrogance at such a young age?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, Jim. I think he knows who he is and what he is and has complete confidence in his abilities. I think he knows what he's doing and what their scheme looks like, you know, extremely well. And I think being the son of a coach, I think he understands for a young quarterback as well as anybody we've seen enter the league, what you're doing on the other side. You know, so many of these guys, they enter the league at the quarterback position, and it takes them a year, 2 years to kind of just get comfortable with who they are and what they're running. And then it's like, oh, yeah, year three, okay, what is the defense actually doing here? Like, he's just so far advanced. And I know he's a little bit older coming into the league and, you know, had the full college experience. But, you know, there's a reason why when you're scouting players and you see the kid's the son of a coach, like, that matters a little bit. You know, this kid, when I was growing up, you know, my dad was a pastor, so we might be talking about what the Wednesday night Bible study was like over lunch and over dinner with the family. This kid was talking about, you know, cover two and cover three with his dad when he was growing up.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so when you see, DJ, what Ja'Marr Chase did to Kansas City in their last meeting, and then when you see what Gabriel Davis did to Kansas City just recently, how do you see the matchup of the Bengals offense going up against the KC defense this time?
I think this game's really simple, Jim. I really do. I think Kansas City's going to score. We know that. They're going to put up a bunch of points. The whole game comes down to whether or not the Bengals can protect. If he gets sacked 9 times like he did last week, it's over. They're going to lose the game. If they can just hold up and give him a little bit of time, and we saw in that first matchup, they can't cover these Bengals receivers, and not many people can. But Kansas City, you know, especially, they are not great in the back end, and Joe Burrow will carve them up. But they got to find a way to block Chris Jones. Like, that's going to be a major challenge. And I think, you know, Kansas City being at home, I think that helps the pass rush a little bit too. It's just a little bit, you get off the ball a little bit slower when you're an offensive line playing in that environment. So that's the game. If they block them, they'll be in it. You know, and if they don't block him, I think the Chiefs run away with it.
That makes sense. Daniel Jeremiah joining me for a few more moments. DJ, when you look at the 49ers and the Rams matchup on Sunday, how do you explain? I mean, Kyle Shanahan is a great, great coach, but Sean McVay is a real good coach. How do you explain Shanahan's total domination of the rivalry, and what can McVay do to reverse it right now?
I think that one is just a classic. It's really simplistic, Jim, but I think it's just they believe it in San Francisco that we're just tougher than these guys. You know what? We're just more physical. We're tougher. They're more of a finesse team. We're a physical team, and we're going to turn the game of, you know, it might be a little bit of finesse here and there, but eventually we're going to turn this into kind of a street fight and a physical contest, and they won't be able to match our physicality. I think that's kind of been their mindset and how they've kind of handled that opponent. I think more so that than any type of an X's and O's or familiarity between the two head coaches. I just think they feel like they're kind of the bully within those two teams. And I think when you look at this matchup, I'm curious to see the health of the 49ers. I know I said Debo will be back at practice, and hopefully he's going to be okay. But Trent Williams, that's huge, man. They've got to have him healthy in that one. But I'm looking forward to it. They say it's right. It's hard to beat a team, you know, a couple times in a row. And then you look at what they've done. It's beyond a couple times now. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup.
Yeah, I would say ordinarily there's no way you beat a team as good as the Rams 3 times in 1 year, but they could. They could beat them 6 times. You know, DJ, one thing about that finesse versus kind of toughness angle, does Von Miller change that dynamic at all? Like, when they acquired him, you were making the point that people should not worry about what this guy does in the regular season. It's all about the postseason. So does that change that toughness dynamic, and what do you make of how he impacted the game Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just such a great move by the Rams. He just, you know, I thought he was going to kind of save some bullets. He played well in the regular season, but I thought he really saved up and has his energy, and he's ready to roll to rush the passer right now. I'm from a toughness standpoint, I don't know if that's really the edge so much as it is if they can get a lead with their offense. He kind of gives them that co-closer with Aaron Donald to be able to finish games. He should have finished the last one. He had the sack and the forced fumble that should have finished the Bucs off, and then the Rams turned around and turned it right back over. So to me, I think Vaughn is kind of his value and what he's going to bring to this team. Maybe not so much the physicality, Jim, it's just being able to finish the game.
Daniel, have you changed the way you see Matt Stafford in any way? I mean, you've got this great body of work. You've seen this guy's entire career. Has he done anything in recent weeks that changed your view of him in any way at all?
I think just gives you more confidence in him. You know, the guy was the first overall pick. I remember going and watching him play in college at LSU. Scouting that team, I think it was him and AJ Green and Noshon Marino, I think, were on that team. And it was, I left the stadium and, okay, this guy's got some, he's got some freaky, you know, arm talent, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this guy can spin it. He is gifted. I don't think that's ever been a question. You know, and I think some of this is just kind of, you know, he hasn't done this or that in the playoffs. So I guess he's put that to bed. But I think most people inside the league have always known this guy's like, he's like one of the 5 or 6 best throwers of the football that we have in this league, and it's been that way for a while.
So at this point in his career, how do you evaluate Jimmy G? I mean, do you trust Stafford a lot more than Jimmy G, a little bit more? How would you evaluate Jimmy G right now? And I know he's not physically 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I give Jimmy G a lot of credit for the toughness and working through the injuries that he's had. But I mean, there's a big difference between him and the other three quarterbacks in the tournament at this point in time. I was talking with Bucky the other day, and we're saying, look, you look around the landscape right now, it's pretty clear. You got to have an elite young quarterback to feel good about your chances moving forward, or you have to have Kyle Shanahan calling plays with five, you know, Hall of Famers on your roster. Those are kind of the two ways to get where you want to go. But, you know, this team doesn't run through the quarterback. It really doesn't. It's about their defensive front. It's about them, you know, beating people up and using Debo and Kittle and whatever way possible. It's just, it's not a quarterback-driven team, which is the only one of the four left that we could say that about.
It's a great point. One last thought. You mentioned Bucky. You and Bucky had a really interesting conversation, I thought, DJ, with former Vikings GM Rick Spielman on your podcast. What jumped out to you in terms of what he was saying about how he evaluated draft prospects?
Well, I think it was a couple things, Jim. It was, he talked about maturity at the wide receiver position being key. I mean, he's done a great job of evaluating and picking wideouts. You think about just the trade, right? He drafted Diggs, and they turned around and traded Diggs and brought in Justin Jefferson. They go find Thielen. He did a really nice job at that position. He talks about maturity being an important quality at that position. You kind of look around, and I've got to know all these guys come out through the draft process. And you see guys like Debo Samuel, who's a grown man, Cooper Kupp. I mean, these guys are just studs. They're tough, they're physical, and they're mature. And maybe those aren't the words that immediately come to mind when you think of great wide receivers, but that's where we are right now.
He is an NFL Network analyst. He is host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. Great, great listen. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He is part of Amazon's Scouts Feed broadcast. Very, very good friend of the program. DJ, much respect, much appreciation. You're the very best, man. Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, Jimmy. And I'm the only one that's rooting for this baseball lockout to last into the season because my Padres are much better in like a 60-game sample size. So
oh, man.
I'm fine on that front.
That's why you're the best. Great take, by the way. I love it. I love that. Daniel Jeremiah closing the show.